This music makes me feel like I'm in some sort of a John Woo film. You know what I mean? Like I ought to be like with DMX or something. I'm breaking into a like a security headquarters or software company or something. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. We enter the third hour of the show. It's 503-733-2970. Hear that extra energy? You feel that extra vibe? You feel that spice? You feel that pulsing sensation?
I do.
That's extra caffeine. That's what I've got. I've just loaded up in the kitchen. The kitchen, by the way, and apparently it's just an ongoing thing here where they fill the kitchen with stuff that'll kill you. Because yesterday, I mean, there were cinnamon rolls, and they were like the size of a tire. It was unbelievable. It was cinnamon rolls, and then those, they were like big muffin-y things that were filled with like cherry goo. You know what I'm talking about?
And then there was a box that said healthy, which nobody touched, except for Sarah and I. We both had one.
Well, and then I walked by the front desk, and it's like, there's some rule. Apparently Congress, they must have passed some legislation mandating that every radio station have a big box of Krispy Kreme donuts. Or else the people at Krispy Kreme just figured out that DJs are poor fat asses who will just eat anything put in front of them. And so you just send it to the radio station, to, you know, and it just gets really put down. So it's sitting at the front desk. Rick, this email says, train deaths amaze me. You have a 50% chance that a train will sneak up and pounce your ass if you are standing on the tracks. In retrospect, you have a 100% chance of not being killed by the train if you stay off the tracks. Michael Brooks, it's not really a death issue. It really is just a smart versus stupid issue. And I hate to say that about Miss Death, Texas. But, you know, what are you going to do? Rick, I just spit Mountain Dew all over my coworker from laughing at some of your music. Please, I beg of you, stop before I put out an eye. That's Dwayne. Rick, listen to this. Two in a row. Listen to this email. Okay, Rick, I just spit Mountain Dew all over myself. By complete coincidence, next email, Rick, I just shot Diet Coke out of my nose. Thank you for playing this song. That is Greg. Ladies and gentlemen, we got Jen Lane coming up in a moment. Let's go to the city desk with Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the Corn Tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS Radio presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. British rocker Gary Glitter has decided to appeal his 3-year sentence for child molestation. Glitter, who's 61, whose real name is Paul Francis Gadd, was found guilty of committing obscene acts with a 10-year-old girl and 11-year-old girl in his rented seaside villa in southern Bung Tao last year.
She was 10, but it's in his defense, he thought she was 12.
Yeah.
So.
Bada bing!
He told me he was innocent, and he has to appeal to clear up his good name.
Okay, let's just stop for a moment, though, to acknowledge that rapier sharp morning show joke I just spat out there.
Nobody paid any attention.
Yeah, I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
You sons of bitches. It was funny. Say it again. Dude, read the headline again.
British rocker Gary Glitter has decided to appeal his 3-year sentence for child molestation. Glitter, 61, whose real name is Paul Francis Gadd, was found guilty of committing obscene acts with a 10-year-old girl and 11-year-old girl.
Yeah, but in his defense, he did think she was... See, I'm screwing it up now. I'm going to say he did think she was 12.
Buckling under the pressure.
That's why we didn't get the Corolla gig. Right there, and I'm trying to show, you know,
that is
worthy. That humor's worthy of KUFO. I've listened. All right, well, there you go, whatever.
Well, here's a fellow who looks like Dick Cheney who just shot his friend in the face.
He looks exactly like Dick Cheney.
Yep. But this fellow has been arrested for bestiality.
Okay. So not like Dick Cheney.
The Mesa Fire Department battalion chief was placed on administrative leave after being arrested in a bestiality case. Police say Leroy Johnson went to a residence and knocked down the door at a home where a 13-year-old girl was staying home alone. When she didn't answer, he went into the backyard and took a lamb into a nearby barn.
I'm sorry. Wait, hold on. So it wasn't even the primary reason he was there?
Apparently not. He knew the lamb was
there. It was
there.
Just like a while I'm in the neighborhood sort of a thing?
He'd been stalking the lamb for quite some time.
So it was like, is this just so like the visit wasn't a complete loss? Like it's, well, I'm already here and it's a long drive back. Do you have any sheep? And then he just...
Well, he didn't even ask.
Let me see the story.
And here you go.
This is... And he looks exactly like Dick Cheney.
Yep.
This look, let me tell you, if I was to put that guy in a lineup, and I was to ask you which guy takes a lamb out back, you'd pick that guy out,
Dick
right?
Dick Cheney or bestiality?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does look like Dick Cheney.
It's the same thing with Gary Glitter, man. You look at Gary Glitter, that's exactly the kind of guy who molests you. You look at... There's no doubt. You look at that guy. Did anybody see pictures of Gary Glitter?
Not lately.
Man, it's...
The glitter is gone.
Time has not been kind.
Oh, well.
And speaking of back on Gary Glitter for a second, he has no business complaining about 3 years. In Vietnam, I thought they dragged you behind a horse for that kind
of thing. Well, they tore down the Hanoi Hilton.
Yeah, so I imagine 3 years in a Vietnamese prison is sort of like doing metric time. That's like 10 years anywhere else, but still. Mm-hmm. Okay, listen, this is the best quote, though. So he went to a residence. So he went there.
Yes.
On company business.
Mm-hmm.
Because he'd been told a 13-year-old girl was staying alone.
And there might be a fire.
And there might be trouble.
Yeah.
When the girl didn't answer, he went into the backyard. Listen to how there's no segue in this story. Listen, like, it's a bad audio edit almost.
There's nothing leading up to him going to the backyard?
It's just, like, you can hear the snipping as the story just goes from one, like, ki-junk, to the next. He went to the home of the girl who he thought might need help. When she didn't answer,
he helped himself.
He went into the backyard and took a lamb into a nearby barn. I mean, there's just no... It's a little bit of a journalistic hairpin there. Quote, one could certainly ascertain that...
Oh, boy. I skipped that part. That's even too much for me.
I'm not going to skip it. One could certainly ascertain... This is the PR woman from the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office who desperately wishes she'd called in sick this day. One could certainly ascertain that if you're in a barn, in a secluded area, with a lamb, and you're behind her, and your pants are down by your ankles, then an unnatural act is probably occurring. Friends said they are shocked and surprised. Excellent. Good times. All right. What else are we doing here?
Geek Watch.
All right, there you go. You look Geek Watch.
High-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember you used to...
Television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on it.
There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn shit. You got it?
Energize.
Midway through the filming of Superman Returns, star Brandon Routh, who's the new Superman, received an envelope in the mail. It contained two pendants and a letter. The pendants, each emblazoned with a red S, said simply, "Go forward." There was a note from Dana Reeve, the widow of Superman star Christopher Reeve, which said much the same thing. "She thought I would be a good Superman," said Routh, best known for his guest role in the Gilmore Girls.
This is a made-up story. I'm telling you right now, this is a made-up story.
She wished me luck.
Okay, here's how you know it's made up. She's dead and can no longer... The time to have put this story out would have been weeks and weeks and weeks ago when they started pimping the film.
Good.
And so, of course, they wait until she's dead because everybody's had doubts about this new Superman film because he's a pretty boy and, you know, and Bryan Singer. I mean, I just don't know.
This is part of a marketing campaign at the show West Convention in Las Vegas.
I'm stunned and amazed.
Carrying the hopes of a lucrative summer at the box office and expectations that people will get excited about going to the movies
totally
again.
Totally fabricated. This is like the Ronald Reagan was awake and joking with physicians sort of a thing. You know, Dana Reeve wanted him to have this. We waited until she was dead, but she wanted him to now. Because, and you know,
she said with her last dying breath, "Make sure the new Superman gets this note."
Okay. All right.
That's it. That's a good one.
Okay, there's the...
By Grandthar's hammer, right. By the sons of Warband, I shall avenge you.
Loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
We'll hear more from the city desk at 2:30. Let me get a couple of these calls, and then we'll bring Jen Lane on from Barfly Magazine. Let's see. Where are we going here? Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Steve.
Steve, how can I help you?
Well, I was just hearing the sheep story. That's not so disturbing. I mean, Mary had a little lamb.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. There we go. All right. The David Lee Roth slot is already taken. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Julie.
Hi, Julie. How can I help you?
Well, you were talking about Belgrade, and I was in Belgrade when I was like 18, and this dirty old man in a street market saw me looking at a dress and goes, "I buy you dress. You give me keys. Yes."
This is Belgrade. This is the place where they're putting Milosevic's body on display?
Yeah.
So, now, I'm an ugly American. So, Belgrade is where?
Well, Well, when I was there, it was Yugoslavia, but I saw on CNN today that, gosh, it's Serbia now.
All right. Who can tell over there? It's just constantly, there's like one big risk game over there. You never know what anything is. So what was his phrase? I buy you dress, you give me kiss?
I buy you dress, you give me kiss.
And I'm assuming you did not take him up on this offer. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Julie. Are you spreading the word about the Rick Emerson Show?
Well, this is like the third station I've had to chase you to.
Sister, it's not my fault. I'm doing the best.
I know. You know, I just have to be quick.
You know what it is that really this radio is just sort of, it's ahead of its time.
Yeah.
And often those who are in a decision-making capacity, it's they can't quite wrap their brains around what they're hearing. They can't quite comprehend it.
If there's no catchphrase.
That's what I'm saying. It's, they lack the one-sentence description.
Yeah.
So I'm doing what I can. All right, you spread the word, sister.
All right, to all the minivan moms.
Thank you. Thank you, Julie.
Bye.
All right, there you go. All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. After an 11-month absence. Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. Jen Lane, how are you?
I'm good, man. I missed my theme song.
Thank you. Thank you for...
I did go to see him while we were on
vacation. At the Roseland?
Yes.
Was he great?
He was terrific.
I know people that hate George Thorogood, and I don't understand
that. He's the best bar band in the world.
I don't understand how any American...
Yes.
To me, it's like George Thorogood is two things. A, he's a litmus test for being an American. And B, he's George Thorogood and the Delaware Destroyers, who are a fine band, they are an irony litmus test. And it's all about whether you can unironically enjoy George Thorogood.
Yeah, I unironically thoroughly enjoy him.
And one of the big thrills of my life, actually, and there's somewhere there are pictures of this, is I introduced him on stage once.
Really?
At the Gorge, of all places.
How cool.
At the Gorge. And I don't know how many people hold the Gorge holds. There's a lot, right? There's thousands of people at the Gorge, right? And it holds... Sarah, how many people can fit into the Gorge?
Oh, God, thousands. I don't even know.
Yeah, and so it was pretty cool. I got, I had the bad mullet still and everything, but I mean...
So you were in the amphitheater?
On stage. I got to introduce George Thorogood on stage.
Wow.
At the Gorge.
Pretty huge. That's one of the biggest venues in Washington.
I've only ever introduced two musical acts. I mean, national acts. I mean, I've introduced, a lot of local guys and whatever. But, I mean, the musical acts, I introduced Great White years and years and years ago. Who were really cool guys. Somewhere I still have my backstage pass, my Psycho City pass. I introduced Great White, and it's totally, and I'm just totally a nerd. And, ladies and gentlemen, it just took him so terrified and just not wanting to look like, wanting to be all cool so the Great White guys would think I was a badass. Like, I thought they were going to take me on tour or something. Like, I totally had, like in my head, I thought the Great White, that guy's fat, we should take him and have him introduce us everywhere we go. And then, that same year I introduced George Thorogood on stage at the Gorge, which... Is kind of bizarre.
Do you get paid for doing stuff like that?
Radio? Are you kidding me? Yeah. No. I got to see George Thorogood. That was kind of it. So, but no, it's cool stuff. And there's a photo of it around the show. I don't know where it is. Floating around us somewhere. So, a picture of me introducing George Thorogood. And it was
I invited
cool
so many of my friends to go, and they're like, George Thorogood, whatever.
Oh, the guy's fantastic. Yeah. Nothing wrong.
It was so great. And, the last time I saw him was when I was, 18, and I was still the youngest person in the room.
Yeah. Well, because it's just nothing but KGON people.
I walked by some guy, and he goes, you've got the face. I don't know what that means.
I buy you a dress, you give me a kiss. Yeah. So what's up with now? I have to ask this now. Not to dwell on the unpleasantness, but so I called you last year. When we got fired, I called you before the station flipped, right?
You called me, that day. Yeah.
Like, it was before it even happened.
Yeah.
I'm like, Jen, this is Rick, and there's going to be some changes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I sort of told everybody who was a guest on the show, you and Scott Daly and... the fuel guys, I released you all from your contracts, and I gave everybody carte blanche to go do whatever you wanted to do to be on. Now, have you been on another radio show since then? Have you been taking your wares elsewhere?
No, I haven't. I've had a couple of, radio stations shimmy up to me, but I haven't really gone there.
Hear that? That's loyalty.
Yeah.
That's loyalty. That's something we know about on the Rick Emerson Show.
Jen's our kind of people. That's right. I don't think I would have been a good fit.
Loyalty and devotion are two of the things that are of value to we here on the Rick Emerson Show, not necessarily to everyone.
So do you have something special for me today?
Well, you do know, Rick, that it was Jen Lane's birthday last Friday.
That's
I
right.
had no idea. Happy
yes?
birthday.
Yeah, three short days after yours.
I had no idea.
Happy birthday,
on MySpace. I'm so... MySpace makes you so lazy because I don't see that little party hat
to
symbol.
You,
I don't
course,
know.
This week, I love MySpace. I think MySpace rocks.
I don't dislike MySpace. I just don't... I feel overwhelmed. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it.
Well, that's because you're naturally completely antisocial.
Yeah, and it's like a networking... It's a networking social friendship. And I hate society and networking and friends.
You just need to have somebody who's really into it doing it for you.
Somebody pretend to be me.
Yeah.
It's like when you write right away to, you know, Donny Osmond, and you get back the dear fan thing, and it's like some intern. I should totally do that. Because I'm not opposed to it. I mean, I have no problem with MySpace at all. It's just I signed up for it because it's like, well, I don't want anybody else to get the domain or, you know, whatever it is. I don't want somebody else to pretend to be me. Although, as Sarah learned, that doesn't necessarily stop them.
Yeah.
But I just have no, I feel like I'm supposed to be using it and, like, I don't know, like I'm supposed to be applying it somehow and like, making the most of it. And
well,
I know that I'm not.
I gotta say, you know, at first, I was kind of a latecomer to it myself, but it's been really good for Barfly, especially on our hiatus. It's been great. As if, like, if you're in a band or you do anything where you have to promote yourself, it's perfect for that. And then, plus, it gets people laid all the time, too.
Yeah, well, there you go. So I'm in. So I'll have to talk to you guys and figure out what I'm going to do with it. Although, Sarah, wasn't it you who said yesterday that if you had a kid, you wouldn't let them use MySpace?
Oh, probably not, but I'm not going to have kids, so yeah, I can make statements like that.
And that's the best thing about it, too. That's the great thing about not having kids, is you don't have to worry about any of that, and you don't ever have to hear yourself saying things like, because I'm the parent, that's why. Like, you don't... That's one of the reasons I could never have kids, because I don't think I could tolerate... We were talking to Gary Baumgarten from CNN Radio, and he had this whole thing where somebody was, like, stalking his kid on MySpace, and they put up some, like, you know... Whatever, like, you know, blah, 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 whatever her name was, sucks, you know, .com or something, or, you know, whatever, the MySpace name. And he had to, like, file a, you know, like, he had to file a complaint and everything. And, like, I don't know that I could deal with any of that
stuff.
Yeah,
I'm really glad I grew up pre-MySpace.
Oh, God,
I mean, that just...
As unpopular as I was at school...
a whole other layer to the hell I went through,
As unpopular as I was at school, I can't even imagine if there'd been, like, a way for, you know...
The worst thing at home that they could do to you is, like... prank call you, maybe?
Yeah. Or egg your house.
Totally. Yeah, huge ass there. That was it, man. It's like, if I grew up now, and I'm telling you this right now, if I grew up now, I'd be a school shooter. I totally would.
Totally.
I have no...
Yeah. I used to fantasize about that all the time.
Oh, me too, man.
But luckily, my parents didn't have guns, you know.
Oh, my
but
dad...
But if I'd grown up around guns, I...
Oh, my dad had all surprised. Kinds of guns. He had all kinds of guns. And on the one hand, I don't want to make my dad sound like a bad guy in this respect, because on the one hand, the guns were locked. Because that's... He wasn't... For all my dad's faults... He was not a redneck who left guns unlocked around the house. He did lock them. But then he left, like, the key ring right on his dresser, like, right there. So it's like, technically, you couldn't get to them, but in actuality, like, they're right there. And he had, like, many pistols. He had the hunting rifle. And I would sit in math class, like many of you, and I would make the list.
Uh-huh.
You know, I would start with, I had a hierarchy, teachers, and then I'd go down the cheerleading squad. I had a whole list of people I was going to kill and in what order. And Sarah's giving me the stunned look.
No, I'm just, that's just a little extreme.
Oh, come on, Jen.
I used to pass, how I would get through or endure the bus ride to school every morning was to build a little wall around me in my head. I know, I sound crazy. And I wasn't even goth, right?
Yeah.
I'd build a little wall around me in my head. And then once I was in my safe place, I would make a list and plan out exactly how I would kill each and every one of the people on the bus that was trying to hurt me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Chris Bergando, I had several different murder scenarios, very elaborate, all worked out.
But of course, we mean him a long life and a healthy life now.
God knows. He's probably in jail or something.
We at CBS Radio wish him the best of health. And mean no...
He's far, far away on the East Coast.
Yes. All right. That's what you think. You walk out and... But, no, I totally had
actually,
that.
Actually, he tried to pick me up in a bar a few years ago.
Did you turn him down?
Yeah, you had no idea who I was, and I was just like, no thanks.
That's satisfying.
Yeah.
No, I used to sit there, and I used to write these, like, horrible stories. Like, I used to be in Catholic school, and I had this nun, who I will not even utter her name, but I had this nun, and she was my religion teacher, and she was the Catholic school principal. And I would sit there, and I would just fantasize, just, like, in incredibly detailed scenarios. Sometimes it was like me with a gun. Other times it was just the ceiling caving in on her and then me standing there mocking her pleas for help and watching her little nun legs twitch underneath a big pile of cement.
Screaming at her, where's your God now?
Exactly. Yeah. So I would totally sit there and it's like...
It's black and white and red all over.
I'm sure if you look back, if you had like some security camera me then, I'm sure I have a big blissed out smile on my face. And she thinks it's because I'm learning about like the, you know, the Gospel of Ecclesiastes or something. And I really, I'm just in my head, I'm just watching the ceiling slowly like break her spine, you know, that's all it is. I mean, but you know, and anybody who's seen Bigger Than Jesus, totally, you know, I discovered radio and you know, and music and all of that kind of got me out. But how did we even get onto this subject?
I have no idea.
MySpace, maybe.
I have the MySpace. I got to figure out how to do it, how to kind of maximize it. But so you've...
Well, yeah, first of all, I need to be in your top 8.
And so does Sarah.
See, but
sorry.
I can't.
I've never touched mine. I'm scared of the top eight.
That's the thing. So now if you all don't know what we're talking about, you can go to rickemerson.com, and there's links to Sarah on MySpace and me on MySpace. And it's MySpace is like this.
Oh, that's why I'm getting all the friend requests.
There's a big thing on rickemerson.com. Okay. Joni redesigned the site, and there's a big link to yours and mine. And it lets you add people to, like, a friend list. It's sort of like on an instant messenger, kind of. It's the same sort of principle where there's, like, a buddy list or whatever, you know, that. It's the same kind of thing where people want to be added and you say yes. But the problem is that, like, you get, you know, whatever, hundreds of, you know, like, some guys get hundreds and hundreds of people. And that they're ranked and you can create a top eight friends. And it's like, there's no good answer to that. Like, you can't. In no universe could I make a top eight, because then it's like everybody else wants to kill you.
Well, I use it for people that I work with a lot, and for people whom, personally, I just want to be able to see their site every day.
Right.
Because it's really funny or something.
So who's in your top eight, Jen Lane?
Well, let's see. Barfly is like three different MySpace sites. Like, right. We have a Barfly party page, we have Barfly magazines page, and then we have my page. And so we're up there, and then there's Kyle, who runs our website. He's one of my business partners. And Annabelle, who's our design diva.
Uh-huh.
And then there's folks like Miss Sarah Dillon and the Rick Emerson Show. And
are we in your top eight?
Yeah, I can't remember who the other two are.
Yeah.
Oh, two of our favorite writers, Jay Horton, I think, and Dave Krogh.
Fantastic. All right. We should probably break here before we get behind.
Okay.
Any more behind. So let's break here. We'll come back. We'll do a quick news hit with Tim Riley. And then we will talk to Jen Lane about what's going on in her world, and we'll talk about frequently asked questions about the Rick Emerson Show.
Can
as we prepare
just say
to
one
modify
thing?
Our,
you missed
our
the whole Bung Pao thing.
Bung Pao, is that
the
a sexual
town,
act?
The town in Vietnam where Gary Glitter was arraigned or whatever.
Right.
Is Bung Pao.
Bung Pao.
That's why you all didn't right. get the Corolla thing, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Bung Pao.
I'm looking on Barfly, and the Rick Emerson Show is in our top eight.
Woot! All right, back after this, the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show, live from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. See, now I got that thing going where I had almost a little too much sleep. Like, I had not enough sleep on Tuesday night, and then last night I had almost too much sleep. I got to find, like, a middle ground somehow. I got a whole weird... You know, a weird sleep story thing happening. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get back to Jen Lane in a moment. Let's make way for Tim Riley at the City News Desk.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. Salem firefighters say dirty laundry spontaneously combusted, starting a fire at a Salem apartment. Crews were called to 1122 Hine Street Southeast. They found smoke coming from the front door and a laundry basket full of clothes on fire.
Okay, laundry doesn't spontaneously combust.
Yeah, yes, it was.
It does. Okay. Look, unless your urinary tract dispenses kerosene, laundry doesn't spontaneously... Cloth doesn't just catch on fire.
It was vegetable oil residue on clothing.
Let's all ponder that for a moment. Okay.
I don't know how it got there.
I know how it got there.
And neither do they.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, anyway, several people are homeless due to that.
Okay.
Time for the Cannibal Watch.
Here's your Cannibal Watch for Thursday.
So this charming little cannibal story comes to us from Wales, which is across the pond. Six prison officers traumatized by a Silence of the Lambs-style killer who ate his cellmate's liver started a court bid for compensation. Three of the former prison employees were retired from their post because of the distress caused by discovering mentally ill slaughterer Jason Ricketts in the act.
Jason Ricketts.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. And I want to have the phrase mentally ill slaughterer before my name. That'll look good on a business card.
Their lawyer, Frank Rogers, said they were...
Why would you put a mentally ill slaughterer in a cage with another guy to begin with? If ever somebody screams out for solitary confinement, it's a guy that they describe as a mentally ill slaughterer.
Slaughterer.
Let's see. We've got the car thief and the graffiti vandal and the mentally ill slaughterer. Why don't you go in the cage with him?
Well, Mr. Rogers said, when they opened the door, he stood up, covered in blood, and told them, quote, I was just about to eat his heart, unquote.
It's tasty, tasty courage.
It's me, I'm Ider.
They had to go through that. It has affected them deeply to this day. All three of them are still working in the prison service. It is with limited prisoner contact.
Oh, okay.
The Home Office admitted responsibility for failing to ensure Ricketts was properly confined 2 days before the case was due to begin January 2005. It is expected the total bill to the taxpayer will be £1 million in compensation and legal fees.
All right, there you go. All right, there's your Cannibal Watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson Show. You didn't even use the best phrase from a story.
Here's which one was that?
The lawyers Frank Rogers of Lees Lloyd Whitley and something said that. Here's the most unpleasant phrase you're going to hear today, and that includes the girl wasn't home, so he found a lamb and took it into the barn. Their lawyer Frank Rogers of Lees Lloyd and Whitley said they were. Paddling in blood, looking for the implement that he used to butcher his victim.
Oh, God.
Good times. All right, there you go. Okay, are we, is that the end of our news?
I believe so, yes. That's probably more than enough for one day.
Go out on a peek.
Yeah.
Go out on a laugh line there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. Tim Riley, the sitting news desk. So we're here with Jen Lane for Barfly Magazine. So,
don't you have something to tell Jen?
No, I don't. No,
something
I don't.
To tell me? What's
no,
that, Rick?
No, I don't. I don't at all.
Well, remember when we were at the other building and Rick was having, like, fantasies about making out with some chick
in
the phone
booth? No. First of all, okay, this is a drastic revision of the text, and you're getting everything wrong from the get-go. First of all, was it the other building?
This wasn't what I had in mind when you said something special, when I said something special.
Yes, you're welcome back, present. First of all, I was not having fantasies at the other building about making
I'm
out
sorry,
with somebody.
Dreams.
I had a dream.
By fantasies, do you mean nightmares that I'm going to have?
No, look. Okay, Sarah she's misrepresenting something and she's merging two things together. So this is incorrect on like three different levels.
I'm sorry. You're right. There are two different things. I just noticed a pattern and kind of put it together in my head.
All right, what is it? Come on.
I had told, and it wasn't even like, it's really not even anything. It's just, it's that, what is today? Thursday?
Yeah.
So, Wednesday. So it would, so for reasons that I mean, not that there's anything wrong with anything, I had this dream on Tuesday that we were making out, and I don't know why. And I don't know why.
How awkward is that for you to say that to
her? Well, how awkward is it that her response is to be horrified and to put her hand over her mouth?
Yeah, I wasn't horrified. I was just shocked.
Shocked and appalled?
Shocked.
I don't like the, but I made the mistake of mentioning it.
You're a married man, Rick.
Yeah, I know. I made the mistake. And I don't typically.
What do you think? I'm some kind of whore? How dare you dream of me like that?
I don't know. Is that the sort of thing you take as a compliment or an insult? I don't. And I'm not typically one of those guys, though.
It depends. Was I enjoying it?
I'm a man. I don't care. I was enjoying it. That's all that counts, Jen. And I'm not a guy who typically has a lot of those dreams where it's like, I had this dream about that chick who works the front desk.
And it makes me feel even more special.
So you are on a short list. That's all.
So we never did get to who the other person was on that very short list. Don't you remember your phone booth dream, all hot and heavy?
Yeah, well, so I made the mistake of mentioning this to Sarah, though, saying, I had the weirdest dream. I had this dream that I was making out with Jen Lane.
You seemed a little discombobulated.
Well, it's just, no, but it's like, first of all, I went through all day yesterday thinking it was Thursday. You know, sometimes, like on Monday, you think it's Tuesday or on
so
Sunday.
So you were
you
missing me bad.
No, thank you. No, I was weirded out because I went through all of yesterday morning thinking you were going to be in yesterday afternoon because I thought it was Thursday. And you know how, did you ever do the thing where you dream about somebody and then you see them in real life, and it's like it's almost it, like it's intense.
Uh-huh.
Like if you know, and even not if it's not even like a romantic or a sexual or a weird dream. Like if you just like whatever you dream about, like the guy who works in the cubicle next door. You come in and when you see him, it's weird. It's like he's extra there. It's like he's got a weird glow on him because it's like you've just had a dream that he's in. And so I was already anticipating, like, oh, it's going to be all weird when Jen comes in.
What extra glow did I have on me in your dream?
the afterglow kind. No, it was just making out, and you were fully clothed, I think. It's all, but see, that's the thing, because...
So was it standing up?
The dream...
So even in your dream, you're not the big stud?
No, you were unsatisfied. And
were you awkwardly standing in the hall with your arms hanging at your sides?
You were...
Where were you in this makeout dream?
I don't even know. It's because, A, it's been like a day and a half, so the dream has sort of faded. Like, I'm not one of those guys who remembers my dreams
with clarity.
You
didn't write it down in your dream book?
I don't have a dream book. No, I don't have a duvet either. I don't have a dream book. I'm not one of those guys who remember. I don't remember most of my dreams with crystal clarity. Actually, the only kind of dreams I typically remember with a lot of detail are really terrible dreams. Like, if I have a nightmare, like, I have nightmares. There were nightmares I had when I was a kid that I can still remember, like, you know, blow for blow. But most dreams I don't. So it's kind of faded a little bit, and you don't have the glow today because it's been 2 days. Like, if I actually had seen you yesterday, it would have been weird. But you were fully clothed. And it's like, I only
okay,
have...
You keep mentioning that she was fully clothed.
I'm trying to point
you?
Out that it was only... We were just... for some reason, we were kissing, and I don't know why. Presumably, it's because you're a very attractive woman, and any man would be lucky to have you. And so forth. And, But it's like, it was only a snapshot. Like, it was only like a little section of a dream. So I don't know.
So in your dream, you were watching yourself make out with Jen Lane?
Well, I wasn't... No, I wasn't watching... I mean, I guess all dreams are you watching something. But, I mean, I wasn't watching myself like it was like I'd split into two people or whatever. But, I mean, in the dream...
You didn't get the video camera out?
No, it's like you're... No,
pointed at the radio?
You know, your dreams are like a window, and it's like you're watching a thing unfold from a third-person point of view, sort of,
so
right?
So you're also a voyeur?
Look, I am what I am, all right? I'm just as God made me.
So that the other dream just, that you had with the phone booth... Was that...
Well, but see, this is... So then too? Sarah immediately linked it to this other thing. So last year when we were
about
still working at Entercom, and before they callously fired us in an ill-advised programming decision that'll be difficult to justify to their management, last year I had this dream, which a guy at the freaking... I was over at the KUFO building this morning, because that's where, like, the promotions or the marketing department is. And I was over there talking about the website and stuff, and the guy at the front desk... I swear to God, completely by coincidence, this guy who works at the front is like, hey, you ever going to tell whoever it was you were making out with at Entercom in that dream? Because like a year ago, I told Sarah I had this dream. A very vivid dream, by the way. But again, fully clothed. So maybe I got some. Maybe I'm trying to hide something.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'm in my dreams. I'm unable
fully
to.
Clothed
I'm
as much as you want.
I'm unable to perform. I'm sorry. I typically don't have this problem in dreams. This is the first time I. No, I had this dream last year where an Entercom, an employee, a person who worked with us at Entercom and I were making out in a phone booth for some reason. And, of course, because I'm a man made of cliches, it was, of course, raining outside. So it was like a full-on, like, John Cusack, Ione
Sky. Was
in your
eyes playing?
Yeah, and then she gave me a pen. And, there was an Entercom employee and I were kissing in a phone booth. And of course, this is interesting now. See, do you all have dreams in the first person or the third? Meaning, like if you're making out or playing ping pong or something, do you see it as though it's through your eyes, or do you see it like from above, like watching yourself do it?
I don't think I've ever watched myself in a dream. But sometimes you do have like an omniscient perspective, but it doesn't really necessarily.
But you're usually in it, like looking out through your own sort of eyes in the dream. If you know what I mean.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Sarah?
Yeah, I'm the same way, except for whenever I see a mirror in a dream, it doesn't look like me.
Really? Who does it look like?
I don't know. It's just always.
I don't think I've ever seen a mirror in a dream. That's pretty complex.
That's bizarre.
I don't know what's going on.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
We should totally
very
get
smart.
We should totally get a dream analyst on and just complete.
Because every time I've seen a mirror in a dream, like if I'll go to look at something, it's a completely mutated or different version.
But is it like a version of you, or is it somebody completely different?
Maybe
it's
like something to do with your different. Cocaine problem.
Oh, that's me.
You do a lot of acid. That's what they always told us would happen if we did
it's
acid.
It's my flashbacks.
They told us all this stuff about acid in school, and I believed all of it. Like I did, they told us that they told us if we did acid that we would never dream normally again, and that we would
fish posh.
I'm just saying, Storm had nothing but good things to say about it. But I mean,
yeah, acid's great. I wish I could take it every day. Vitamin A.
The views of Jen Lane do not represent those of anyone. What was my point? So I always see myself from a third-person perspective. And maybe that means I'm a voyeur at heart. Who knows?
Self-absorbed narcissistic?
Completely. And so, no, because then everybody would be me. Then it would just be me. It'd be like that Malkovich scene in Being John Malkovich, where everybody would just have my face. And everybody would just go, Malkovich, Malkovich, Malkovich. But so it was me. It's so embarrassing. Me in a phone booth. And, of course, the phone booth is all fogged up, right? Because it's
raining. Oh.
It's so terrible. It's like, that's what I mean. It's like I just dream in John Hughes films. I have no originality at all. And it was with a fellow Entercom employee. And I told
Sarah...
you were
completely awkward around for a remainder of time there.
Well, yeah, because you can't... Because it's like, then you wonder what the hell's going on. And
so, are you saying that she was better than me?
I'm not saying anything. I'm saying...
No, I think the difference
I love
with
you
this
both
one,
equally in different ways.
The difference with this one is that he didn't even really know her.
I don't, and I still
so
don't.
So if he would have told her, it would have been real
creepy. That's the thing.
Creepy.
That's the thing. It's a woman, and I should specify at this point it's a woman.
And she was clothed.
Making out with Nelson and Terry. My Chase and I were pumping it out in the closet. It was a woman. It was a woman who works at Entercom, and it was especially because I didn't really know her. I still don't really know her, and Sarah was always like, "You're gonna say it on the air," and it's like, "You can't," because you can't be like talking about some coworker on the air that you're, you know.
That's true. You don't know their borders.
Well, and you know, it's like the Post. Steve Post, Anita Hill era. You can't be on the air and talking about some woman who works at in the
unless
same
unless you want
building.
To get on the Supreme Court.
unless you want to be confirmed and successful. So I was never able to. It was a different style dream.
So
though.
You're able to say it now, though. I mean, she's not a coworker anymore.
Yeah, but it's.
Would other people know her?
Oh yeah, because. That was one of the questions.
So she's another broadcaster?
That was one of the questions
Daria
at the time.
Daria O'Neill.
Somebody, hold on. There's one
Who
of the questions.
Who hasn't had a dream about making out with Daria?
Have
please.
You?
No.
That's disappointing.
I've dreamed about making out with Storm, though.
Really? I know several women that actually have had very, very vivid fantasies about making out
it's
with Daria.
It's unnerving to bring your female friends to see her because they're
Storm?
Instant
lesbians.
Totally, yeah.
Oh, no. I've always said that any woman's a six-pack away from a bisexual experience, and any woman is a Storm appearance away from being... like, you know what it is? It's like... it really is like the Cinderella pumpkin thing, where it's like you bring your girl to see Storm, and she'll be by for about another 5 hours. Like, you got a five-hour window. Just bring your girlfriend to see Storm, get her home right after the show, like swing by a lesbian bar or something in the way home, because there's like a five-hour window where your girlfriend will be by, and then she'll and then in the morning she'll be straight again. But Storm has the power to turn any woman bisexual for like an evening. And, you know, I know a lot of women, though, who've had fantasies about Daria. What was my point? So, yeah, but that was one of the questions at the time. Is this person...
So
this,
was it Daria?
This, hold on, this intercom woman that I had this dream about, they said, well, would people know her? And I said, well, yeah, she's not. She was in the promotions department or something. She was a broadcaster, and I just don't know. Do you think it's inappropriate for me to say it now?
No.
I don't want to cause any. Should I make people wait?
Well, no, we really do have to break.
All right, so I will tell you after this. Listen to that. That's a what is that, Sarah?
A guarantee.
That's a guarantee.
I still have the paperwork on this.
A tease, much better than Adam Carolla does, by the way, for those who are keeping score at home. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. We're back after this. Rick Emerson Show live from Portland, 503-733-2970. Don't call, please. We're here with Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. Like is next, followed by the Phil Hendry Show at 7. Coming up tomorrow, another Cannibal Watch. And we'll talk a little film with Scott Daly and bring our first week back on the air to a close. All right, so we can get this out of the way and done and over with. So it wasn't Daria. And I don't mean to cast aspersions on Darius.
Jamie.
Yes, it was Jamie Cooley.
Jamie.
Jamie Cooley.
Wow,
you just came out with it.
Well, what am I going to do?
Chris, you know, she's a Pisces, too.
Yeah, okay. No, it wasn't. I don't like that Daria's beautiful, smart. You know, yeah. Everybody loves Daria. Everybody loves Daria. What was her name? It was
Jamie's very beautiful and smart as well.
Jamie Cooley from KNRK. And I don't even really know her. I've only ever talked to her for like 10 seconds my whole life. But I will say, for the longest time, I thought she hated me. And I know I say that about everybody. And I guess that speaks more about me than about other people, because I'm always convinced everyone hates me. And but she came to our final listener party at the Viper Room right before we went off the air. And she left me a really nice phone message after we got fired. And it was like, hey, your audience obviously loves you. And if you ever need any help, if you ever need anything, you know, I'll totally help you out, because I'm a big believer in your audience and whatever, you know, Jamie. And she was really cool. That's, I think, the only time I've really ever talked to her. And even that was like a one-way communication. But I always thought she just despised me. And I think that's part of it, actually, because I got this. There's a whole sort of hierarchy of types of girls that I'm into. Like, I like really trashy girls, which is not the category that I'm saying she falls into. But I do like a lot of...
And what about me?
You're a vivacious, fun-loving girl. That's the category you fall into. Vivacious and intelligent.
Jen Lane's in the trouble.
With a certain worldliness and charm. And,
What you might call trashy?
I'm not calling you trashy. I'm saying that's one of the categories. You are not in... You're in your own category, Jen. Just let me
How could
slide
you be
with that.
Trashy with a little plaid skirt? You're not. And, like, you're
looking
great.
You look really good, by the way. And we were noticed. Like, you look great. You look. Anyway, is that awkwardness coming back?
I always try and look good when I'm on the radio.
But the thing about Jamie is she's a really cool person and everything. But I didn't really know her, and I thought she hated me. And one of the categories of women that I find strangely attractive, like a lot of guys, is women that I don't sort of like women that are kind of like ice queens. And I'm not saying she is that way. I don't really know her. But I'm saying I always got the vibe that she didn't like me. And so, of course, that kind of makes her, like, even hotter. It's like that B.B. Newirth kind of a thing. Where she just, that vibe of just sort of cool disdain. And that, to me, I find that, like, a huge turn-on for some reason. And I don't know why. And so I think I was kind of turned on by the fact that I thought she hated me. And just, so there you go. But it's, you see why I could never say this when I worked at Entercom. I couldn't be like, yeah, I was at this dream, I was making it with Jamie Cooley. He's a badass. Like, you can't say that and then go to the, see, now I don't ever have to see her, so I can't, I don't worry about it anymore. So I go ahead and say, you happy now, you jackals? You sons of bitches? There you go, fine. So everybody email away. Everybody just email away. Just call away. Tell her, I know that's...
So
I know
did you tell Lara about all these dreams?
I told her about that one, actually. I told her about that.
What about Jen Lane?
No.
Would that make her a little uncomfortable knowing that Jen comes in to visit us?
Moving on, we're going to, how much time
do we have? You know, you've got to get another still in here so I don't have to sit in your lap anymore, Rick.
Thank you. Thanks for that. Honey, you're the only one for me. So, Jen Lane, what's going on in the world of Barfly Magazine?
Let's see, we have our historic occasion tomorrow night for St. Patrick's Day.
It doesn't help that you're wearing the tightest sweater I've ever seen in my life, by the way.
Will you let her promote herself?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Hey, I'm talking here.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
All right, yeah, we've got a historic occasion. Not one, not two, but three Barfly buses are rolling for St. Patrick's Day. And as of a couple hours ago, they all sold out.
Excellent. Ooh.
So, shocking, we're going to have 150-plus barflies out there.
And those are, I've never been on one. Those are kind of legendary, though. No
they
one's
are.
Been on that ever forgets
yeah.
it.
Yeah, first rolls, nobody talks about barfly bus. Second roll, nobody talks about barfly bus.
Excellent. All right. And,
we've got, I'm going to be in the Portland Tribune tomorrow as Person of the Week.
Hey, look at you.
And a brand new barfly is going to come out, no kidding, on April 1st.
Excellent.
Yeah, fantastic. It's been forever. It's been awful, but we're back.
But you are back. Excellent. Yes. So, and you're going to be in the Portland Tribune, what in the, what section is it?
I believe I'll be in the Weekend Life section or whatever that weekend or.
Congratulations. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Those guys ran a really nice piece about us when we went off
the air. Yeah, they're awesome. They always have really good writers. They're excellent. Very kind to Barfly over the years.
All right. So the website is barflymag.com. Mm-hmm. Barflymag.
Or you can see us on MySpace.
And it's myspace.com/barfly?
Yeah, Barfly Mag is me, and Barfly Magazine is the magazine.
Excellent. All right. How long do we have here?
I'm going to start the closing theme in 4 seconds.
All right. So, and there we go. Thank you. All right. So Jen Lane, Barfly Magazine. We'll see you again. Next week?
I'm so glad you're back. I'm also a fan, not just a personality, and I've really been enjoying hearing you back.
Hand off my leg. Barfly, but I'm telling you, I'm an early riser. I've done it before. Barflymag.com. Barflymag.com is the website. The Rick Emerson Show is produced by Sarah X. Dillon.
I'm going to go take a shower.
Johnson 970, part of the CBS Radio Family News Director, Tim Riley. We want to thank CNN Radio's Lisa Goddard and CNN Radio's Ed McCarthy as well. We will see y'all tomorrow. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. Check out more at rickemerson.com. Like us next. Phil Hendry at 7. See y'all tomorrow in 21 hours. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See you tomorrow. Bye.